This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
1 hour in the rear view, one to go as we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. This is VSiN, the sports betting network. I'm Stormy Bonantoni alongside Mike Pritchard. Today, VSiN host, NFL analyst extraordinaire. We'll cover lots of NFL this hour. Get a little NBA Finals talk. A great game three yesterday for the Denver Nuggets, who your hometown team. I mean, I don't know. Technically, Vegas is your hometown team. But Denver is
second
like
hometown.
Your second hometown. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about our Vegas Golden Knights as well. Game three of the Stanley Cup Final coming up a little bit later against the Florida Panthers down there in Sunrise. Our guy Mike Somich, friend of the Lombardi Line family, he'll join us in about 15 minutes, professional handicapper and excellent horse racing handicapper as well. Get the full lowdown for the Belmont Stakes that's coming up this weekend. So needless to say, a lot going on here for this final hour on a Thursday, but excited to have all of you with us. And we're going to start off this hour with a Pritch edition of No Way or No Doubt. Let's hear that open.
Do you disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
So it worked out that you're still a Michael, right?
Right.
So asking Michael Pritchard, but it feels wrong to even call you Michael. I'm so used to Pritchard Mike. I don't think we can do it.
Yeah, I don't know if I can do a Spicoli like, no way.
Oh, that was perfect.
Pretty good. Was that good? Right on cue?
Glorious. For anybody who's never joined us for No Way, No Doubt before, we are looking at some of the notable games and headlines going on in professional sports. And if we think that it's something that's absolutely going to happen or no way, it can't go down. Starting with talking a little NBA Finals here. Pritch, the Miami Heat will win another game here in the finals. No way or no doubt.
Can I change this up a little bit?
Oh, okay.
Like, I know, because this is Michael Lombardi, right? No way, no doubt.
What's your phrase? Do you have a go-to phrase?
Will the Miami Heat win another game in the NBA Finals? I'm going to change it up. Hell yeah, they're going to win another game. Can we change it to hell yeah? Can we do that?
I'm game. I'm game.
That's probably more my comfort level right there, more so than no way, no doubt. But yeah, they're going to win another game. I think they're going to win game four, to be honest with you.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, you know, they got to get a lift. You know, the adjustments from Denver, that's the give and take here in these seven-game series. I'm looking at the number two. They're still a short dog in my estimation. If they can keep this game tight, I think Miami feels great about their chances at home in the fourth quarter. They've been in a situation too, backs against the wall kind of thing. You've heard that a little bit from analysts. But no, this team has responded throughout the playoffs. So hell yeah, they're going to win another game.
Miami, a 3.5-point dog coming up for game four back there in South Beach. Total 210.5. But I like that. Can I get a hell yeah?
You see? See? Yeah.
Good start there. We'll see ultimately what happens. I feel like we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show when VSiN contributor Will Hill joined us that this is a team very much so that like won't go away. And every time you want to count them out and think that they're done, they never quite seem to be done. So hell yeah, they'll get one more. Okay, for this next one, can I get a hell yeah or a no shot? DeAndre Hopkins will be a Pro Bowl wide receiver in 2023, no matter where he plays.
See, I'm going to go, oh, hell no. He's not going to be another Pro Bowl.
Shots fired the former NFL wideout himself.
Okay, so a lot of things are going to have to happen for D-Hop to become a Pro Bowler again. I mean, there's so many great wide receivers in the league right now. If he's entertaining going to the AFC, I mean, think about all the receivers that he's going to have to go up against in terms of trying to get to that Pro Bowl. Now, there's a caveat because a lot of guys are declining going to the Pro Bowl and they keep going down and down and down the list there to get the guy to the Pro Bowl. So I shouldn't be so strong that, oh, hell no, he's not going to make another Pro Bowl. But I feel that strongly because the way that the league's devaluing him right now, too, I don't know what situation he's going to end up in. Now, there are some caveats, though, because Mahomes, you know, Deshaun Watson, if he lowers his number and stuff like that. So there's a slight possibility there.
Yeah, all pro and pro bowl are two different things, which is important, an important distinction to remember. The news, of course, over the last 24 hours that Hopkins will make his first free agent visit to the Tennessee Titans. But a name you mentioned just there, Deshaun Watson, the Cleveland Browns are the favorite to land DeAndre Hopkins. Where things sit right now on the DraftKings odds, I believe around plus 150. Mm-hmm. And Michael Lombardi and I talked a good bit on this show about how much Cleveland wants to see Deshaun Watson get back to where he was and the caliber of player we know he's capable of. He said that he's having the most fun that he's ever had right now. He would like D-Hop to reunite. Watson also said he feels like he's way ahead of where he was last year. Could reuniting those two be maybe the missing piece to help Deshaun Watson take a step?
It wouldn't hurt, for sure. I mean, I think both of those players would be comfortable on the field. And I think the ability for Deshaun Watson to improvise like we've seen him do in Houston, along with D-Hop, because of the familiarity, the comfort that they're going to have on the field, will bring out the best of Deshaun Watson. So, yeah, quarterbacks will tell you they know a receiver's language. They know how a receiver runs a route. I can have trust in that guy. I'm going to throw him the rock. So it would not hurt one bit if D-Hop ended up in Cleveland.
Reunited and it feels so good. All right,
right,
I'm done there.
That's right.
Let's move along here in Hell Yeah or Hell No, the Mike Pritchard edition of No Way or No Doubt. The New York Jets. So Robert Saleh told reporters on Tuesday that they will be canceling their mandatory mini camp that was originally scheduled for next week. Said that he's felt like they've done a lot in OTAs and they're preseason is going to be starting a week earlier than everybody else because of the Hall of Fame game. So No Way or No Doubt, or, you know, your rendition, the New York Jets skipping mandatory minicamp will have no impact on their season.
Oh, man.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Hell no, that skipping mandatory minicamp's not going to have impact on their season. Because here's why. You know, Coach Saleh, he's been phenomenal in terms of changing the culture out there in New York. The whole receipts and all this stuff, getting at the podium, saying things outwardly that you normally would say indoors or inwardly to your team. I think he understands. It's like Malone with the Nuggets. He understands he has a pulse of this roster. If they're getting the work in the offseason, then, yeah, coaches will take it upon themselves to say, you know what, we're ahead of schedule here. Let's get some extra time. I trust you guys. But when we get back here, we're going to get to work. It happened my rookie year in Atlanta. You know, Glanville, we were supposed to have, 6 weeks of training camp. We cut training camp short. We only had 2 weeks of training camp because we were getting it in, Stormy. We were getting the work done, and we were certainly improving. So the reward for that was to sleep in our own beds. We still had two-a-days, but we could go home at night. So I think that relaxed the situation. Plus, it led to some great football later on that year for us. So yeah, no, I there's no doubt. I'm gonna say no doubt that skipping mandatory minicamp will have impact on their season here.
So I've got a little sound
no
bite.
Way. How about no way? Is it no way?
No.
I said hell no. Yeah. It is hell
no,
yeah.
No, you said hell no, it won't have an impact.
See, I'm all
so there we go.
On this now.
It's yeah, get it together, Pritchie. I one job. No, I'm just kidding. So I want to play a little sound bite from you, from my guy Deebo Samuel, and then I'll follow it up with the question. But here is Deebo at a press conference talking about how awful he felt his season was last year.
Last offseason really wasn't really a lot of stuff was going on and not put myself in the position that I was last year for is not really working hard. But the main focus this year is just to get back to, you know, the summer, what I did in 2021, not even the season, just yet alone the summer of getting back to the groove of things and getting back in the routine. Me and Kyle had a long meeting the other day. We watched tape. We talked about it. We put it behind us. And just going through the tape and just look how sluggish and, like, how bad it looked on tape. Like I said, just reflecting on last offseason, it kind of played a big role in that. I never put nothing like that back on tape again.
Yeah, so doesn't want to put anything on tape like he had last year. He wasn't feeling confident with his play. And this is after a long negotiation process to try to get his deal done. He even did the social media delete talking about requesting a trade, all these different things. And he feels like that had an impact on his following season. So, oh, hell yeah or hell no, off-season contract negotiations have a negative effect on in-season performance.
Yes. Hell yes, they do. Absolutely. For a lot of reasons. You know, the uncertainty of your future, you're falling out of favor, or the team doesn't look at you the same way that you view yourself. I mean, you lose confidence. You don't work out as hard. Debo looked a little thick last year, didn't he? I mean, I don't know if he'll be in better shape this year, perhaps, and because that's what he was talking about with the sluggish nature of his play. Plus, he's got all these injuries. He was talking about how they're using him in this offense, too. So I think when you get the bag like he did, they should be able to use you however they want to. And you're a playmaker, and you're a premium playmaker at that. So the mental mind games of a contract negotiation, I don't know why teams mess with their best players that way.
There's
I don't know why they do it.
Yeah, and there's the mind games, and then when they're not showing up to these camps and OTAs and stuff like that, they're not even getting their bodies where they need to be, to your point of him being a little different looking than maybe we anticipated him to be. Okay, got one more rapid fire for you. Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas will be an impact player again in 2023. He says he's going to be ready to go this year from day one.
How many years has he not been on the field?
Three games in the last two seasons.
Oh, boy. Impact player just like that from no...
Derek needs him.
No run to impact player. I'm going to say there's no way. I'll clean it up that way. There's no way, because I was going to say something else, that Michael Thomas will be an impact player again in 2023. Now, just... define impact. I mean, is he going to make an impact because he's back on the field and maybe Olave is going to have less coverage and stuff like that? Maybe, but putting up the numbers that he once put up, I can't see that happening.
I think it helped Derek Carr be a top seven passer in the NFL this year. Maybe something along those lines. We have a quick timeout here, but coming up, talk a little Belmont Stakes. Mike Somich, professional handicapper, joins us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com. Check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes. You can see the changes in action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN's here to make you a more informed, better year-round. Again, you can check out those splits for every game at VSiN.com. The thing I love about our next guest is that while, like, I know, like, a little about a few things, Mike Somich knows a lot about a lot of stuff, and it is so awesome. We have so much to cover with him today, including the Belmont Stakes, which is getting set for the weekend. Really strong cards, from what I understand, both Friday and Saturday. So Mike Somich joins us now, professional handicapper. Find some great content at RacingDudes.com as well. Before we get to some of your picks, though, Mike, I'm curious about the air quality and everything that's going on in New York from the carryover from the wildfires in Canada, if that has any impact on everything that's going on for the races.
It definitely does. Air quality is important for our equine athletes here, so we want to make sure that the horses are all safe going through this process. We saw three racetracks in the Northeast cancel yesterday. Belmont actually canceled their card today, and there was no training at Saratoga or Belmont either today. So they're being cautious with it. We'll see what happens over the next 2 days. It's a situation where if we do end up canceling this weekend, they'll probably just push the cards back to next weekend. We'll have Belmont Stakes 1 week later. But the air quality is definitely a concern. I mean, it's not something that you want these horses really running hard, and especially with mile and a half races, well, they have to breathe in that air. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully it clears up and the winds kind of blow it along. But if not, we'll have a fun weekend next weekend. So that's the nice part about horse racing. It's easy to push it back.
Yeah, I mean, looking at this air quality situation in New York, I mean, my goodness, certainly hoping for a better situation. For the race itself, though, Mike, this is the longest one of the Triple Crown, obviously. And so just curious, from your handicapping standpoint, do you handicap the jockey in addition to, certainly you look at horses and a lot of information that you're ascertaining that way, but how important is the jockey in the longest race?
Well, the Belmont's one of those races that the jockey makes a pretty big difference, because the pace of the race is generally a little bit slower than what we'll see in other races because of the mile and a half distance. So you definitely want to have a top jockey, a jockey who's familiar with the horse. Experience over the track matters here as well. They call Belmont Big Sandy. It's actually the largest racetrack, largest oval in the United States. And it can be a very tiring surface as well. So understanding when to kind of ask the horse to go and ask the horse to give its best effort is important over this Belmont track. We've got a really experienced group of jockeys here. All of them have experience over the Belmont track, and some of the best jockeys in the world, obviously, here for a race like this. So that definitely plays into it. And another big factor is the bloodlines. Because this is a mile and a half race on the dirt, you really have to look at who the sire and the dam, the mom and the dad are, and whether or not they're able to kind of get that mile and a half, because it's a much more grueling distance. We talk about the Derby being a mile and a quarter. That was most of the first time for those Derby horses to go a mile and a quarter, and none of these horses have gone a mile and a half before. So you really have to pay attention to pedigree and who's set up best to get the distance.
So let's get into it. A very talented field for the final jewel of horse racing's Triple Crown. National Treasure coming off the Preakness win. You got Mage, who fell behind there, but obviously won the Kentucky Derby, which, by the way, thank you again for helping us cash on that one. Also, Forte making his long-awaited Triple Crown debut. He was the favorite in the Kentucky Derby, had to get scratched. So as you kind of go down the field of horses here, where does your eye take you? What stands out?
Actually, pretty surprised I'm going to go ahead and pick Forte in this spot. Okay. I wasn't planning on picking him, but as I dove more and more into the race, I think he fits really well here. We picked Mage because we thought the Florida Derby was one of those key races that looks not great on paper, but when you watch it live, it was a very good race. I think Forte is getting a little, not enough love here in this spot. I feel like 5-2 is actually a pretty decent value on him. The mile and a half shouldn't be any issue. There should be more pace than we saw in the Preakness. The one horse, Tappet Shoes, is one of three Brad Cox horses in here and by far possesses the most speed of any of them. I'd expect he's going to go out and challenge National Treasure for the lead early. Forte, of the horses that are going to be closers, is going to be the closest positioned of those horses. So I think he sits a really good trip in fourth or fifth. And if he's within two lengths turning for home, I think Forte is ultra dangerous in this spot. So I'm going to put him on top at 5-2.
Okay, Mike, let's get to hockey. I think Stormy might be a little nervous about the Knights and asking this question. So I'll ask
a
question. A lot nervous. How about the matchup? I mean, VGK has been incredible on the ice so far through two games. Florida looking for themselves. From a series standpoint, it's always said that series doesn't really start until the home team loses, right? And so what do you think of this matchup, Game 3?
I think it's going to be a fun game tonight. We saw what I thought was a fairly even game in Game 1, and then Vegas just blow the doors off of off of Florida there in Game 2. They looked phenomenal, rolling four lines, got just offensive chance after offensive chance in that game. We're able to put away the Panthers pretty early. I think we're going to see a big rebound effort from the Panthers, especially early. I'm not sure who wins the game, but I do like the Florida Panthers in the first period minus 110. I think that you're going to see just the first 10 minutes, their hair is going to be on fire in that building. Mm-hmm. The crowd is going to be behind them. They're going to be pushing the Knights as hard as they can. So I do think you're going to see a very good first period from the Panthers. Not sure if they're going to be able to hold on, but I like being able to bet the Panthers minus 110, where if it's 1-1, 0-0, I just get my money back in the first period where I don't have to worry about the full game sweat. The other part of this is really interesting is the total here. I mentioned going into this series, this was an over series for me. I bet first period over, full game over in both of the first two games. All four of those bets cashed. You saw a major change here from Vegas. You don't often see, in Vegas, the books, I mean, you don't often see them jump from 5.5 to 6 in a series. They kind of admitting that, hey, the 5.5 number wasn't right. We're seeing 6 trade at minus 110 both ways here. This is the one game I'm going to lay off the full game over. I wouldn't be shocked if Florida decides to tighten it up a little bit and play more of a defensive battle here instead of playing into Las Vegas's hands and racing up and down the ice with them. Because, look, Bobrovsky just hasn't been as good in these first two games as he was the first three rounds. Now, Florida probably is going to say, let's limit the chances. Let's see if we can win a 2-1 game, a 3-2 game, something like that. But that is going to make it harder to get to this over. So I'm not confident enough to go on to the under, but I am going to lay off the total here in this spot. But I will take the Panthers minus 110 in the first period.
I have a very similar read on this game, Mike, and I'm curious as to like how the Panthers approach this from a physicality standpoint, because that's been part of their calling card all playoffs, and it's just part of their game in general, but it's obviously gotten the worst of them here these first two games in the Stanley Cup final. And if you're, you need to actually start playing hockey at some point so that you're not in the box the entire time, how that plays out for them. I also wonder with that theme, if the first period overtrend is going to continue, because 13 of the last 14 Vegas Golden Knights games have gone over in the first period specifically. How about the NBA? The Denver Nuggets get it done last night with a 15-point win in game 3 in Miami. Looking ahead to game 4, general thoughts as we move forward here in the series. Denver leading the set 2-1.
Well, I've been a big Denver proponent on this channel through the last 2 weeks or so since we got this a finals matchup announced. So I'm still on Denver here. I had them last night on the alt lines as well as the -2, which I got early. Right now, the best bet to me is you can get Denver -0.5 or -1 in the first half, even though they are 3-point favorites in the game, which is surprising because when you watch these games, Denver's been the better team in the first half, all three of them. And Miami consistently during these playoffs has been a second half team. So I'm surprised we're not closer to -2 or 2.5 even in the first half when the full game line is 3. So I've already played Denver -0.5 in the first half. They're still readily available at -1. I think that's a good way to look at this. And to me, like, I'm going to keep betting Denver on some of these alt lines. When you think about this series as a bell curve of results where, you know, 80% falls in that close range, it feels like it's a much flatter result base here because Miami is reliant on hitting 3-pointers. And when they don't, they lose by double digits. And so I'm probably going to come back with some Denver -7.5, Denver -10.5, and look for that +200, +300 type numbers there on Denver covering big time. I think they're just the better team. Their role players are better. Their star players are better. It's a tough, tough spot for Miami, and they need to shoot the lights out, which they are able to do in game 2 to be competitive. And they still won by just 3 points when shooting 48.8% from 3.
You know, Mike, like a true professional, you have multiple plays, multiple sports. Let's get to the diamond. What'd you see in the matchup against Houston and Toronto here?
This is a fun one. Berrios is going for Toronto. I love to fade Berrios on the road. It's a little tougher at home, but you got Valdez going for the Astros today. They lost 3-2 yesterday. They're going to try and bounce back here in a big way. I don't totally trust the Astros bullpen, so I'm going to look at a first 5 play here. I'm going to take the Astros -110 in the first 5 innings and really focus in on the 2 starting pitchers where I think the Astros have a pretty large edge in that spot. It could get a little hairy here because we are playing Toronto, and that is an easy ballpark to hit the ball out of. But Berrios is more likely to give up home runs than Valdez in this spot. So give me the Astros first 5.
I know you love you a first 5 bet just in general. Anything else you want to dish out before we have to let you go?
Sure. Let's go under in the Mets Braves first 5. The number's at 4.5 right now. A good pitching matchup. Verlander versus Strider. I love Mets unders. The Mets offense is not very good. So when you have one of their top tier pitchers going and you combine it with a bad offense, it's a great recipe for the under. So I'll go under 4.5 first 5 in the Mets Braves game as well.
You're awesome, Mike. Thanks for doing this.
You got it. Have a good one, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
You too. Yeah. That's our guy, Mike Somich, at SambaBomb18 on Twitter. Make sure you get all the latest with horse racing news and betting information at racingdudes.com as well. And as far as that first 5 under in the Mets game, simpatico with our guy, Will Hill. So maybe that's good vibes on the Lombardi line. I might have to join in on that under. We got to take a quick break here. Back to the NFL when we return, looking at which coordinators will make the biggest impact this coming season.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a smarter sports bettor with a VSiN Pro subscription for a limited time. Sign up, come join us, just $9.99, and you'll get full access to everything we do. That includes daily pro picks on all the summer action, including NFL and college football futures. We've got premium analysis from our team of top handicappers and industry experts, 24/7 video access, and pro tools like our betting splits, showing you where the public and sharp money can give you an edge. Don't miss out on our lowest intro price of the year. Again, it's $9.99. Visit vsin.com/subscribe. That's where you can sign up today. Michael Lombardi out on the road today doing some great things for his new book coming out, I believe, in August, Football Done Right. But fortunate that we have Mike Pritchard on the desk with us, giving off his NFL expertise. We spent nearly a decade in the league as a wide receiver, so very, very appreciative, as always, of you helping us out here. Earlier this week, we talked about, with Michael, some new or younger NFL head coaches in their first, second years with teams and how they can elevate their teams, right? Well, another angle to this, I think, is when you see a team bring in a new coordinator, and there are a number of new coordinators with new teams this year. And before we get into some of the coaches in different spots in 2023, from your experience, like, was there ever a coordinator that came in that really made a big difference for a team you were on?
Absolutely. I mean, it's night and day sometimes, really, Stormy, in terms of what you're trying to do or what you're doing. The night and day situation was in Seattle when we're going from essentially what the Miami Hurricanes offense was back in their heyday with Dennis Erickson. And, you know, a lot of things you do in college doesn't necessarily translate to the National Football League, especially back then. And I'll give you a prime example. So we could have a certain route concept called, but then if there was a blitz look, we had all these checks to go through to kind of pick it up and make sure that the quarterback was protected. But then, you know, problems will still arise. Like, well, coach, what if this happened? What if that safety did this? And like, oh, I didn't think about that. Let's go back and watch the tape and then we'll figure that out. That kind of thing. That's subpar performance though, right? Well, you know, if you're Mike Holmgren and, you know, you've won a Super Bowl and you got the system that you're highly familiar with, speaking of the West Coast offense, if there's a problem on the field, it's built in. Well, coach, what if this happens or if we get this look? Oh, it's built in. In other words, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. We got it. It's covered. Mm-hmm. And so there's a confidence level out there. And I think there's a number of teams that can kind of distinguish themselves that way. You know, which teams are playing with a lot of confidence and which teams are still messing with protections and schemes to try to protect the quarterback. You can identify that as better.
That's interesting. Because, I mean, sometimes as somebody from the outside looking in, I wonder, like, are we looking into this too much? Are we making too much of a coaching change here or a personnel change mm-hmm. here? But, no, it really can make a difference, especially from a confidence standpoint.
1,000%. You can see the different speeds that teams are playing with offensively when they know what they're doing. As opposed to kind of thinking. Same thing with defense. One of the things that I look for during a season is, you know, are these players comfortable? I go back to being comfortable in your environment. And so a lot of times the coaches can provide that comfort just based on their experience, the credibility that they have to call and plays. And certainly as you get through the week of practice, are you comfortable with the game plan? And those are the things from insiders, you know, I'll read and you know, maybe try to tap into some insiders in terms of trying to see some information or, you know, just understanding the track record of some of these coordinators mm-hmm. out there, providing that comfort for their players.
Well, let's start on the offensive side of the ball. Is there a new offensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator rather that's in a new home that you feel is poised to make an impact on their team this year?
Well, I think here's where it gets interesting. Like you look at Kellen Moore, he's got Justin Herbert. I mean, how are you going to mess that up? Right? I mean, you better not.
You better not.
You better not mess that up. Nathaniel Hackett, that's going to be better than it was in Denver because he's back with Aaron Rodgers, right?
And I think some coaches are probably just better poised to be a coordinator than the head coach, right? Well, maybe he's one of those guys.
Because of comfort. Yeah, like I'd rather call plays and Aaron Rodgers, we're on the same page. He knows what I'm thinking. I know what he's thinking and everything's comfortable and it's a fit. Right. You're exactly 1,000% right. I mean, I think Steve Wilks is a great defensive coordinator, but is he D'Amico Ryans with that roster? You know, D'Amico had some impact with those players, right? And I mean, as a former player himself and closer to the age group of those defenders out there in San Francisco, that was a different relationship than it's going to be with Wilks.
Well, now you got me thinking, Steve Wilks, don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Don't mess it
you
up.
You better not mess that up. Vic Fangio.
I like Steve Wilks. Right. I will say, I do. I am a fan.
Vic Fangio, like there's an age gap. Vic Fangio was a linebacker's coach when I was playing in the league. And so, but the players have a way of communicating and embracing Vic Fangio. He's got a way with players that is uncanny, and he certainly gets a lot of production from his players. So I'm looking for that to be great. I know maybe some friction with Jim Schwartz. You going from Joe Woods, who's highly distracted player or defensive coordinator, to Jim Schwartz as a defensive coordinator. I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, just based on paper and the relationships or the track record of a Jim Schwartz as a defensive coordinator, is he going to win over those players on that side of the ball? Eric Bieniemy is already winning over players out there in Washington. Jahan Dotson, Bieniemy's bringing a culture to the Commanders, right? It's a freshness. And it's also credibility because Eric's won a couple Super Bowls out there from Kansas City.
He was somebody I was very specifically like wondering your opinion about because, yes, won a couple of Super Bowls in Kansas City, yet Andy Reid is given the credit for those, and he hasn't gotten the head coaching opportunities largely because of that. So this is his shot to go off on his own. I'm curious what's going to happen at the quarterback position, especially with the Commanders, because we have Ron Rivera coming out saying, hey, Sam Howell, you know, he's going to get the first shot. But actually, we're talking about him and Jacoby Brissett about the same here so far to start the season. So is he going to be able to get the most out of the quarterbacks? I think that's going to be really, really important for the Commanders. But this is a proving ground and a big, big opportunity, I think, for Eric Bieniemy if he takes advantage.
Right. I mean, he's assistant head coach out there, too. So he's got a title. But the thing about Eric, Stormy, is like, you know, Andy Reid does get the credit, you know, you look at the offenses, but Andy Reid's from that system in which the coordinator, and Eric's part of this too, the coordinator comes up with the game plan, the play caller, a lot of times Andy Reid will nix a play or not nix a play, but certainly throughout the course of a game, Eric's calling those plays in Kansas City, and then certain phases or certain elements of the game, Andy Reid would call it. But this is going to be Eric's show out there in Washington. And you're right, though. It's a different quarterback situation that he's dealing with there. So I know a lot of people are excited about it, excited about the scheme. But can that quarterback or a quarterback out there in Washington?
Yeah, he didn't have to worry about a dang quarterback thing with Patrick Mahomes.
I said a quarterback because I think it's neck and neck between Brissett and this other guy.
Sam Howell out of UNC. One name that we haven't even mentioned yet. Bill O'Brien, you feel like that's going to be an automatic upgrade from having a defensive coach running your offense in New England and somebody that you would hope that Mac Jones can develop a good relationship with their Alabama roots.
That's the key, right? I mean, O'Brien is experienced, certainly calling the plays, but he runs hot too. Like, is Joe Judge still going to be the quarterback's coach? I'm curious about that. Like, because that coach runs hot. We know he got into fights with his own coaching staff out there in New York when he was a head coach. That's not good for a quarterback to have two people involved in the offense that run that hot. A lot of times a coordinator has to be a counselor too. I mean, they have to understand what this quarterback's going through out there on the field with 10 other players and then a defense. And, you know, the emotional roller coaster of all of that. If you are so ardent about what you're doing and, okay, my system – you know, you need to execute, then it's not going to work with a guy like Mac Jones because we saw him lose his poise last year.
So it looks like it will be O'Brien that is handling the quarterback specifically as well. Okay. But you wonder if Judge is still going to have a hand in things. Obviously, he's listed as an offensive assistant that our guy Elliot behind the glass tells us. Todd Monken, do you really believe that the Ravens are going to become more pass heavy in their approach?
Well, that's a relationship to watch because, you know, this is completely different for Lamar Jackson now. You know, when you're dealing with a guy who kind of catered the offense, you know, he worked with the offense coordinator, his name's escaping me, but he worked with Colin Kaepernick and, now he's moved on, so here comes Monken, and everything's going to be kind of different for Lamar Jackson. So that's a relationship I'm going to have to keep an eye on, because I don't know where that's going to go. Obviously, the Ravens explored moving on from Lamar. That's why they let him kind of, even though they franchise tagged him, he still could have signed with somebody else, especially a player at his level. That didn't happen, so they welcome him back. They give him a contract. So that relationship, they're going to have to forge a relationship out there in Baltimore right now.
And another new coordinator, Brian Flores, there with the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah. We talked earlier that Vikings defense couldn't get a whole lot worse. So hopefully Flores can step in and get the ship righted, as they say.
Well, they're going from a 4-3 to a 3-4. And, you know, I don't know if they have the same personnel or the right personnel for that right now as they're making moves even this late in the offseason.
It's going to be an interesting season for the Vikings. I have a lot of questions, that's for sure. Yeah. But I still lean over that 8.5 win total. What can I say? We got to take a quick break. Stanley Cup Final, Game 3, coming up tonight. What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Plus, if you're planning a trip to Vegas, remember, you can convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions do apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Pritch, you and Michael Lombardi have something in common. Okay. And I just wanted to let you know that I really, really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
That when we have guests on to talk about hockey, you start the questions because you know the anxiety is through the roof.
Yes, yes.
And I am very nervous tonight.
Okay.
But
can I ask why?
Just because I feel like some fans got a little too excited and got a little too overzealous, and they're talking about the parade routes and planning it in the city, and that just gives me bad vibes. It gives me bad juju. And the Florida Panthers, we saw against the Boston Bruins round one.
Mm-hmm.
They came back from down 3-1 to win that series in seven. And I don't want to count them out. I know the Golden Knights have looked like the better team in just about every area, top to bottom so far through two games. But that is not a reason to get too comfortable, especially knowing that, as you said earlier, nobody's won on the road yet.
That's right. Are you more nervous game three than you were game one or game two?
No, I was the most nervous in the series game one, for sure, because I think that the tone-setting game at home is critical, and they were able to do that, which I think the Florida Panthers are going to try to do tonight as well.
Well, they tried to set the tone in game one, too, though, like even before the puck dropped. I mean, there was like a little, you know, shenanigans taking place, right?
Well,
but that didn't disturb the Knights at all. In fact, I think
they need to set the tone a different way.
Okay.
Because their attempts at physicality have ended up resulting in plenty of 10-minute misconducts and their best player, their top goal scoring performer, Matthew Tkachuk, in two games has 36 penalty minutes and just 1 point. So like, there's a different way that they need to approach this. And I actually saw a great quote from Paul Maurice this morning coming out at his press conference after morning skate, where he actually said he thinks the Boston series was more physical than this one, but we've made this series more physical than it needs to be. Said we had 22 hits the first period of game two. Prorate that. You don't need 66 hits in a game, and there's an energy cost to that.
Right, right.
So I think that's a very, like, he is very smart in understanding that, like, my team needs to come out and, yes, play physical, but have controlled emotion. Because Vegas is hitting hard, too, but they're being smarter about it.
Well, they're executing. I mean, one team is trying to be physical. The other team is playing hockey.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, just make this simple. And then, understand the numbers are out there from a betting standpoint. But I go back to the comfort. Like, the Golden Knights have been entirely comfortable this entire series. The team that's uncomfortable, obviously, is Florida. Now, can they get comfortable at home on home ice with the emotion in the building and the energy level that's going to take place, too? Yeah, they can, but can the Knights overcome all that? I asked you a question last week, I think it was, in regards to the Knights being a really, really good hockey team. And Florida, maybe they're good. They got momentum on their side, though. Now momentum's gone, I think, right? So how are they going to respond? Are they a good hockey team? Or are they going to have to rough up the Knights? But that's not working, though.
And so similar to the thinking that Mike Somich had earlier, regardless of whether or not you think that Florida is going to turn this series around and tonight's going to be the night where they do get a win, like if there's a win that they can get and need, it would be tonight. Regardless, I do think that they're going to start the game with like a more intentional effort.
Okay.
And like I said, set the tone, but not necessarily in a, like, I'm going to make a massive hit and get the crowd on my side that way.
Yeah.
I think that there's different ways that you can do that. Playing with speed. Being hard on the forecheck without causing problems and doing things you're not supposed to do. Which leads us, I think, to our pro tip here a little bit as well. Shout out to our guy Samich for helping us come up with this one. Pro tips available every single day from each show at vsin.com. But if you think the Panthers are going to come out swinging tonight for game three, you're going to get a better price in the first period than you are on the game. Minus 110 for them to win the first period versus minus 120 for the full game price. You also are done with it in 20 minutes instead of having to sweat out an entire game as well. So get that instant gratification, maybe cash that ticket, and then see if you want to do anything else in game. But VSiN pro tips available again, vsin.com, searchable by sport and by show. The Golden Knights, even money underdog tonight, total sitting at 6. I do also kind of get the feeling that if there was a game to be lower scoring, maybe it would be this one.
Right.
But then I kind of revert back to looking at the games the way they've played out so far here, Pritch. Mm-hmm. Vegas has 12 goals through these first two games. It's actually tied for the most in Stanley Cup final history through the first two games. Despite outscoring Florida 12-4, Florida has the same number of scoring chances Vegas has had, more high danger chances than Vegas has had, according to Stathletes. So the opportunities have been there to score, but Adin Hill has been standing on his head at numerous opportunities. So you wonder if on the road he's going to have the same type of confidence that he had so far here in the series. I hope so. I certainly
You know what?
He's played great.
He was a little shook in game one, I think. Certainly the way that Florida kind of attacked him and tried to get in his mask if they could, but they couldn't. But then also he just trusts his players, though. And you can see that. I mean, the thing about the Knights, I go back to the Edmonton series, and you're playing that offense, right? You're playing that penalty situation, that you know, from a defensive standpoint, a special team standpoint. I mean, but the Knights still took care of business. I mean, even limited opportunities against Dallas sometimes, they were able to score the puck. And what I mean by that is where they placed it. Like, Bobrovsky, did I say his name right?
Bobrovsky,
Sergey.
Yeah.
Sergey.
call him Bob around here.
We just call him Bob. Sergey Bob. The Knights have gotten to him, and that guy was standing on his head the entire playoff so far. So is that in his head still? I mean, I think home ice will help that situation from Florida, but the way that the Knights are executing, it's a tough bet right now. I mean, I think I want to lean Florida and maybe even bet them, but I mean, the Knights have been playing such stellar hockey, though, in my opinion.
Yeah, Bobrovsky's allowed 8 goals on 46 shots on goal so far here in the Cup Final, a far cry from what we have seen since he took over earlier this postseason. A few bets I'm considering tonight, that first period over. I've made a good, nice number of bets cashing with this first period over, and so I'm debating if I want to go back to it again tonight or not. It's hitting 13 the last 14 games, minus 130 price. Mark Stone looking at his over 2.5 shots on goal as well. It's minus 105 now, so unfortunately we're not getting the plus money anymore.
Yeah.
But he's had 3 or more in 4 straight games, including 7 shots on goal. Game 1 of this series, you imagine on the road, there's going to be a concerted effort to have shots on net. Jack Eichel to have an assist as well. We cashed on this last game. It's plus 105. He's had 9 assists the last 9 games. If you talk to any player on the Golden Knights and you're talking to them about what's different about this team this year, what's an added element that's given you guys confidence, I would say the bulk of them would say the addition of Jack Eichel and what he has meant to that top 6. And 5-1 for him and Conn Smythe as well. So I do like Jonathan Marchessault. I have a Jonathan Marchessault ticket from pre-series at 7-1. He's now an odds-on minus 105 favorite. After not being able to score in that opening series against Winnipeg, he's got 12 goals in 12 games.
He's all over the place.
And I think that you give a little bit of an edge to the guy scoring goals more than the assists, but Jack Eichel has been tremendous. Adin Hill, obviously, a very worthy number there at 5-1 as well, especially if we do start getting some of these lower scoring games. And he's only allowed four of these first two games, Pritch, and 2 of them were off skates of his own players.
I know. Incredible performance so far. You know, the different line combinations are interesting, too, with the Knights and what they can do and how they start the games, too. So the options galore are plentiful, in my opinion, for the Knights. But, again, a trend is a trend until it ends. I mean, I know you're kind of going back and forth.
I know.
You know, for me, if I was betting something that was hot, I would stay on it. But
Like, just bet it until you don't win anymore. Because sure. You've won enough to where you're net positive. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
right. You're not going to jinx. You're not going to jinx.
Speaking of jinxes.
There's no hitter jinx. No hitter jinx doesn't exist right now.
Last 30 seconds mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
Every game that the Golden Knights have won, I have been sitting on the left side of my couch. I'm debating going to the watch party here at Stadium Swim mm-hmm. later on this afternoon.
Right.
The games that I have not had my butt in that seat, mm-hmm. the Golden Knights have lost.
Okay, how far you want to take this? I mean, are you wearing the same outfits or what do you do? I mean, are...
No.
Okay, so...
It's usually pajamas, though, versus a swimsuit tonight, I guess, so... Decisions.
Circa,
tweet
pajamas.
At me, at Storm Bonantoni. What should I do? I'll put up a poll. Somebody help me. That's a wrap for today's edition of the Lombardi Line. Thanks for hanging out with us. VSiN Best Bets coming up after this.